This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:06 in the evening and we're going to continue our conversation about the smoking ban. We've also received a huge amount of messages from, people who smoke, people who don't. And we're just... We want to hear from you. What do you think of the smoking ban that is set to, you know, to make its way into eateries, especially if you're a smoker? Will this assist in deterrence? You know, for that matter, will it just make you deter you from eating in restaurants? Which is it? Are you going to stop smoking or are you going to stop eating out? 7733 2900 is the number to call. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We have Argus on the line now. Good evening. What are your thoughts?
Okay, I'm a smoker, and then I really support this ban. First, because you know when we got the time to hang out in the mamak shop, we smoke like nobody business. But in fact, a lot of people, sometimes parents with some children there.
Right.
So when you got a chance, maybe Sunday have a breakfast with your family, and you're not doing that, so that's one thing. And also in Singapore, we happen to be in Singapore sometimes, so it's very difficult to smoke there. So it's for me,
and it's expensive.
Like, I joke with my boss who stayed there, and it's like you guys discriminate smokers, you know. So it's not easy for me to smoke there. And with regards to the restaurant owner, that they're not happy with this. It happened to be in my ex-office. There's a restaurant that allowed smoking. So there are a lot of smokers having a smoko time all day long. And it's good business for them. And one time when the building banned the smoking, so somehow there are less people coming there and they end up closed shop. So I think that's where they're coming from, I think. But I agree with the smoking ban in the restaurant.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your call. Yeah.
I think taking examples from Singapore seems to be something that's coming up quite a bit because
it's our closest example, right?
It's not just that. It's because we travel there so often.
Yes.
So you know you can do it when you're in Singapore, when you can get penalized, when there's proper enforcement happening. You know that you've been able to do it there. However, it usually is for shorter periods of time.
Yes. And also, I mean, you know, all of these arguments we're hearing now about restaurant owners being upset about smoking and say some people like in the UK, there was an issue with Middle Eastern proprietors of restaurants saying, oh, well, you know, shisha is part of our culture.
Yeah.
So we should be allowed a space to smoke that, right? All of this we've heard when England actually put forward their smoking ban. Eventually, the government just held steadfast and went tough, live with it. And it's been over a decade now, I think, since their smoking ban came into place. And life goes on.
Yes, and it would seem, at least from our, you know, very sort of basic poll, smokers support this. It's a matter of restaurant owners now. Alvin says, I'm a smoker. Well, a vapor. I used to smoke. I switched to vape. And I support this move because of the fact of the matter is there are many people who are oblivious of other people and just blow their smoke all over. I personally always move away from people when I take a drag because I have manners. So I support this move because of millions of inconsiderate smokers. And regarding the caller about religion and smoking, I call that hypocritical. If you're going to say it's killing us, how about CO2 emissions? Don't drive and only use public transport. Guess what those vehicles run on? Don't tell me you don't use electricity at all, because if you don't know how electricity is produced, you guessed it, fossil fuels. So that was in response to our caller earlier saying that perhaps religious leaders could take the lead on this. We also had someone referring to your mention of the Pope, Umar Firdaus, saying, Pope, nah, not popular, dude.
Oh, wordplay. I see what you did there.
Not popular, some might say. Asmil says, I smoke and I fully support the ban. If Malaysia ever legalizes marijuana, would we accept people taking it in public? It's no difference from smoking. Rosman, the person who smokes in public is far worse than the person who farts on a packed elevator.
Oh, but farting in a packed elevator is kind of fun.
No, it is not. No, it is not. How dare you?
Especially if it's a quiet one.
You're the hypocrite.
You stare sternly at the person next to you and then pretend it's him.
You have a sickness. We've got Siva on the line now. Good evening, Siva. Thank you for holding. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think I agree with, you know, the smokers who feel for the others, non-smokers. I'm a teetotal. I don't smoke at all. And, you know, one has got to think of the passive smokers and think of the deterrence. And you know, I was actually at a restaurant one day just when these things came about, and the guy was so happy that they don't have smokers in there. I think, you know, you got to think of others. And it's so nice to see the smokers saying that, you know, they feel for the others. And, you know, you got to, like, and these are real matured smokers who have, you know, a sense of caring. And I think that's what's got to happen. Because we don't, I mean, I'll just give you an example. I mean, here, I mean, I've spent quite some time in Australia. And just going to pubs here, it's like you come back, all your clothes are like,
You're just disgusting,
you know,
basically.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's terrible, you know. And I know I had my daughter here, and she came out the next day. It was like the whole hair was like, you know, you take 3 days to wash your hair to get that smoke off. So, but I was laughing at what Uma said about the farting. I thought that was cool.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Siva.
No, Siva, don't support this. Oh, I don't need... You know, in a way, a studio is also like a closed room, similar to an elevator. Please do not encourage this. For my sake, everyone, think of me, please.
You'll never see it coming, Lynn. Or
literally
hear it.
Oh, God. Julian on Twitter says, I support this move. Restaurant owners can instead propose having smoking rooms, like the public smoking rooms in Japan, where they have a small closed space to smoke. And we've got Hakim from Selayang saying, I don't see the smoking ban in restaurants about smokers as a way to reduce it. It's about saving other human beings who don't want to be exposed to harmful smoke. Why should smokers see it as attacking them? In all fairness, it seems more like the restaurant owners are seeing it as an attack on their business as opposed to smokers seeing it as an attack on rights, at least from the people we're hearing from today.
And I disagree with that notion as well, restaurant owners, because when the smokers die, then there's no one to come to your restaurant.
So dark. But there are many, many years before that, Uma, in which they can continue to take their money. We've got Fauzi on the line. Good evening, Fauzi. What are your thoughts?
Hi, good evening. Okay, I am a smoker, but I recently moved on to this new vape pot.
Right.
It's not the big vape, it's the pot. So it's been 5 days, so I'm living without the stinky smoke smell and all that.
Ah, so you're a recent convert.
A recent convert, yes,
okay.
Correct. Okay, the thing is, one, even when I was a smoker, I'm quite a heavy smoker. I smoke about 2 packs a day.
Right.
Whenever I go into a restaurant and somebody else's smoke, you know, just go into your face, it's really annoying, you know. That's one. The second one is the fact that when you bring your family, especially when I bring my kids for roti canai and all that, and again, I'll try to find a place far away from anyone who smokes. So I say the ban is good, but also being an ex-smoker, I also support for restaurants to have probably some place, a close place like the airports where they have smoking rooms, which doesn't bother the people outside. Because as an ex-smoker, recently convert, it's quite a difficult habit, you know, when you go to restaurant and you can't take that puff. I mean, worst case scenario, in Malaysia, we're still quite open. We can go out to the street side, have a steak or two and all that. But as a recently converted smoker, I'll say to all the smokers, look out for these spots. I just got one, not promoting a brand or anything, but it's quite good. It's small, it fits into your pocket, and you know, I'm puffing in the office when nobody's seeing, so it's good. Okay.
Thank you very much for your call. There was a restaurant in our old building at Wisma BU8 that actually had a glassed-off area for smokers. And that's a rarity because a lot of restaurants don't necessarily have the space for that.
Yes, and also I do need to say, despite having that, cigarette smoke is pretty intense.
Yes, it is.
It ends up infiltrating the rest of the space.
Correct.
I mean, I was grateful. I was glad that they had it simply because smokers could then, you know, sit comfortably. But there is something to be said for how cigarette smoke tends to infiltrate everywhere else.
Yeah, it's also that room just looked very yellow.
Yes, oddly yellow. Mm. Everyone looked like they were 20 years ago. Correct. Or something like that. Breathe Freely Malaysia might soon be something that people can do. We are talking about the smoking ban, especially in terms of how it will pertain to eateries, because they're planning for all eateries to be smoke-free.
Yes.
We'd love to hear from you, whether you're a smoker or a non-smoker. Let us know, do you support this? Or do you think it will affect restaurant business? Will it help with smoking cessation? 7733-2900 is the number to call. 018-789-8899 is the number to WhatsApp. And you can always tweet us at BFM Radio. We have got Lim on the line. Lim, thank you so much for holding. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, good evening, everyone.
Hi.
I'm actually a non-smoker, a real stern one. I really take a fight with people who smoke in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, people keep talking about the rights of the smokers. To me, they have no rights. Unless they can breathe in the smoke and don't breathe out the whatever the remaining, then possibly I won't mind they smoking in front of me. So the thing is, if I pour water on you, would you beat me up? But if you breathe out the smoke on me, you say you have rights. Hello?
Yes, we're here.
Yeah. So, to me, even if you have a smoking room, how sure are those restaurants actually is going to have the full compliance? In fact, now, even with the non-smoking sign inside the eateries, people still smoking everywhere. And in fact, the thing is that about the pouring of the water, you're going to beat me up. The water is harmless. But the smoke that you force me to inhale is harmful to my health.
Mm-hmm.
And if I fall sick, do I have a right to claim from you, from the smokers? And yet, smokers have rights to smoke in the eateries. That's what I just want to... I just say they don't have any rights at all. Unless they can contain the smoke within their own lungs.
Thank you very much, Lim. Thank you for your call. Yes, and I think that is the main point of argument, I suppose, for most people who are for the smoking ban. The fact that, yes, it impinges on the health and well-being of other people.
Aaron says, on the smoking thing, if smokers can refrain from smoking in cinemas and long-haul flights, they should be able to refrain in restaurants, which is fair enough. Tani says, any ban of smoking without proper enforcement is just a lot of smoke. Enforcement is the key, and Malaysians need to wake up to this, which is very true. Yvonne says, let's do a thought experiment. Pretend for a moment that instead of smoking, a minority of society slits their wrists in public instead. In the process of doing so, these people will slit the wrists of people around them. If you make harm visible and immediate, everyone will be completely against it, despite having to lose the customer that is causing harm. Now, isn't smoking just another form of self-harm, albeit an addictive one, that happens to harm other people around them? So a lot of analogies coming through, mm-hmm. like pouring water on people, slitting wrists. I suppose trying to make an invisible sense of harm more visible and more immediate. That seems to be coming through.
Yes, yeah. And you know, I appreciate the analogies and the metaphors. I think they're very good. However, I have to say, I don't think smokers are unawares of the dangers of what they're doing. I mean, that is pretty... I don't think I've met a single smoker who has gone, nope, medical science is wrong. I am right. I'm going to smoke whatever I want and I will not die. I think most of them know that it's harmful, but like you said, it's an addiction. So they're addicted to it.
Smoke-free New Malaysia on Twitter says, any smoking space should not provide any comfort, no sitting, no table or shade that encourages and prolongs smoking, which is an interesting point. We've got Belle on the line. Good evening, Belle. What are your thoughts?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
All right. So I got 2 points. I hope I have enough time for that. So firstly, I would like to say, like, there is actually a difference between smoking, vaping, and even if the latest addition to the group is the IQOS from Japan.
Right.
Yeah. So, as everyone knows, smoking, they burn the tobacco and whatever that's inside, and that's how all the dangerous chemicals comes out, which affects the smoker, affects the people around them and everything. So in regards to vape, it heats up whatever the ingredients that's in the juice, and essentially it's not, it reduced about 90 to 95% of risk, okay, through the vape inhalers, as well as the recent IQOS, where it also heats up tobacco and nicotine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so there is an alternative healthier version to smoking, which everyone is trying to jump aboard to save their, of course, to be healthier and everything. And, yeah, so my second point will be to restaurant owners. You see, part of the culture of Malaysia is, you know, we go to Mama, we go to hawker store, and we sit down and we talk a lot of this and that. And half of us will start, like, you know, smoking, of course, all right? So I'm a smoker as well, so mm-hmm. I do that essentially. But I don't think there will be a big difference towards the restaurant owners, because end of the day, this ban will not change our culture. We will still go and we'll still do it. It's just that there are alternatives to do it. Okay, smoking is banned, right? So there are other alternatives. Yeah, it's a bit more costly to, like what the previous caller has mentioned about the vape ban and everything. It is maybe a bit more hassle to get the, in comparison to cigarettes, you know, you can just go to the shop and buy it.
Yeah,
but this is all about taking care of your life, your health, people around you. So that's my 2 points. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your call. Actually, a quick note on, I guess, all of these alternatives, because how do we define, or how does the government define smoking, right? So does it have to involve a cigarette? And or a cigar, for example, does a vape count? Does this new technology, this IQOS thing, does that count? And then will that be actually affected by the ban?
Yeah.
So the legality and enforcement is going to be a little tricky when it comes to these new technologies and stuff.
Especially if whatever the new technology is still results in a puff of smoke.
Yes.
Because I think that visual is very hard to kind of get away from. We've got Jackie on the line. Good evening, Jackie. What are your thoughts?
Hi.
Hi.
Good evening. Okay, I'm a non-smoker, and besides the health issue, I think on the hygiene issue, we have to look into it.
Mm-hmm.
If the government can set the rules on our eateries that we have to keep hygiene and everything, smokers leave ashes behind, all right? They throw the cigarette butts on the floor and all that. So if the restaurant or eateries can follow all the rules set by the government, they should also not allow smokers in, because they also dirty the place, you see?
Yeah.
Even ashtray you see on the table are filthy, filled with dirt and the ashes flying all over. So this is good enough to ban smoking in all the eateries.
Jackie, I mean, I agree. And it leads in actually with a tweet from Chen, who says, smokers are terrible litter bugs as well. Please make a PSA on radio to ask them to throw away their cigarette boxes and butts responsibly. This is a little bit half-baked. It's not necessarily the PSA that you are asking for, but do consider it one. Nevertheless, it is true that you do see cigarette butts littering our streets quite a bit.
So we used to be, BFM used to be housed in a building where the smokers used to hide out in the stairwells.
Wasn't that much of a hiding spot.
It wasn't much of a hiding spot, but it used to be filthy, because the stairs used to be littered with cigarette butts, right? We're currently housed in a building where it's like no smoking everywhere, and you have like to cross the street over to Taman Tun and smoke in a corner.
Which continues our conversation about the importance of enforcement, because I haven't noticed anybody breaking the rules there. Do keep your calls coming through. We're talking about the smoking ban. Let us know what you think. Do you support it? 77332900 is the number to call. 018-789-8899 is the number to WhatsApp. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. We're back after the news.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, The Pretenders, Brass in Pocket. Good evening. This is the evening edition with Lynn and Uma. We've been talking about the smoking ban and asking for your thoughts. Do you support the smoking ban in eateries? And we've gotten a number of messages that have come back. Jotham saying, my father's a smoker of 30 years. He decided to quit half a year ago. This ban is a good way to help my father recover from his tobacco addiction. In the meanwhile, Nadra says, I believe not allowing smoking in restaurants is good. Besides the obvious health reasons, my late father used to smoke outside the restaurant to signal us to finish our meal quickly, so we didn't get to order dessert.
I like this kind of practical thinking.
Right.
Very important.
It's really just about how people live their lives. And we've also got Imran, who says, gross, Uma. We'll come back to that. Soon, however, the shops will blame the smoking ban for less customers when in fact they have less customers from the sugar tax and prices going up. That gross was in reference to Uma's comparison of smoking to farting in many ways.
Well, someone made the comparison. I said that it was a...
You really leapt on it, I have
to
say that. Yeah,
I did.
And our show has become a little bit more flatulent as a result. A number of people have sent in different strategies for both of us to kind of...
To fart?
Basically, it's like people want to trigger a flatulence war. I'm not going to read the strategies because I don't believe Uma needs any ideas. So thank you for that.
These studios are like double sealed. Like soundproof.
Yeah, it's not a very large space either. Anyway, do keep your thoughts coming. 018-789-8899 is the number to WhatsApp. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio and of course call us 7733-2900. In the meantime though, we have on the line Dato' Ho Soo Mong, President of the Malaysia Singapore Coffee Shop Proprietors General Association. Thank you for joining us on the show. Talk to us about your key concerns when it comes to the smoking ban.
Oh, you see, the concern is that the customers, when there's a place to buy cigarette, there's no place to smoke. So there's a big concern. So we hope the government has to prepare a proper place for these smokers, because smokers have their rights to smoke. The non-smokers have the right to be protected. So we feel that the government should provide a proper place, smoking cubicles, a zone for smoking for the smokers. That's only fair, you know. You can respect the rights of both smokers and non-smokers customers. So that is what, you know, the concern of our small businesses.
But how feasible is it for us to provide sufficient smoking areas or smoking cubicles?
Yes, just as what has been done in Singapore, in open air coffee shops, you know, there are corners, smoking corners. Normally, they pull it outside the coffee shops or in front of the coffee shop where the ventilation is so much better. So that is only one or two tables for smokers. So that will separate the other tables from the smoker tables. That's one thing. Another thing is the cubicle. What I mean, cubicle is what you see in Japan. You know, there are cubicles, transparent cubicles, transparent smoking rooms everywhere. And these places have been built up, has been set up before they announced a total ban on the smoking. You know, government collect tax. Tobacco tax, they collect, I think, 4 or 5 million a year. So if government wants this money, they have to provide certain place for them to, for their rights, to choose their rights to smoke, instead of providing, putting a high-handed rule on them that you cannot smoke here, you cannot smoke there, you can only smoke by the roadside, on the roadside, on the road, which is not fair to them. They are human beings. They are not rubbish. They have their rights too. So government has to provide a place for them before implementing a total ban on all this.
So another thing to consider, though, is that a number of studies have found that smoking bans in restaurants don't really affect restaurant revenue, which has been the concern that's been expressed by some restaurant operators. Some possible explanations might be that the ban could increase the number of patrons who don't smoke, or smokers won't necessarily be put off by the ban from eating in restaurants. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes. You know, places like Malaysia, it may be different. The situation may be different from other countries. In Malaysia, coffee shops and eateries, you know, the customers are from medium and lower class groups. So these people have been smoking for 100 of years, so many years. Since birth, I think they have been smoking. So they are not used to this sort of enforcement. So places like Malaysia, you should give them a certain time through education, educate them. So you cannot say, we sell cigarettes. You cannot smoke here. You have to smoke on the road. So I feel I feel government should provide a certain place to should educate them first, and then the most important thing is how to reduce the number of smokers in the country. That is important, and this has to be the MOH has made a research on this, not to say when you implement this restriction of this smoking, it will never help to reduce the number of smokers in the country. We don't encourage smoking. I'm a non-smoker, but our association, we don't encourage smoking. But because our customers are comprises about 30% of these smokers and non-smokers. So these non-smokers, when these smokers come to the shop, they expect you to provide a certain place for them to smoke. So if the government wants to do this, they have to find a smoking zone for them.
Has the government engaged with restaurant operators on the matter so far?
So far, the previous government, they engaged us. They asked us for dialogues so that we can have a win-win situation. We can find a resolution where we have a win-win situation. The PH government comes out. So far, they have not met us. Only once when we rode in, they called us for a meeting. But that our suggestions have not been entertained. So we feel MOH should encourage those involved, especially our association leaders, because we are also in this line, to have a dialogue so that we can find a mutual resolution where we can get a win-win situation. And that is more important. We hope this MOH can be more practical on this and not just to satisfy the request of World Health Organization's request. More importantly, you have to suit the requirement of the places concerned. Like Malaysia, you have the situation is so unique that you cannot use the same formula as you use in other countries. And, now illicit trade has been so bad. It comprises about 60% of the total sales of the cigarette in the country. Why 60%? Why? Because it has been so rampant. So that question has to be studied first before they declare a total ban on this. This is only a surface solution for this secondhand smoking, but in actual fact, it cannot solve this basic problem.
Sumong, thank you for joining us on the show. That was Ho Sumong, president of the Malaysia-Singapore Coffee Shop Proprietors General Association, talking about restaurant owners' concerns about the upcoming smoking ban on all eateries. We've been asking you for your thoughts. Let us know what you think. I mean, do you support this smoking ban, or do you think that it, is unfair to restaurant owners? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Building Fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
This is the evening edition with Lynn and Uma, and we are talking about the smoking ban, the upcoming one that's going to ensure that all eateries are smoke-free. So we've been asking you what you think. Do you support it? Or are you in agreement with restaurant owners that, you're concerned about, you might stop eating out so much simply because you're not able to smoke in restaurants anymore. Roy says, people go to eateries to eat. So to eatery owners who are against the ban, did you start your business to sell meals or to create a smoke room and sell meals on the side? As for smoking rooms and partitions in eateries, those eateries in Japan do not have their own smoking rooms. Those areas are in public spots or shared units prepared by the building. So eatery owners need not say they need to build such rooms, get the government to designate such areas or your building management to prepare one. Also, a lot of messages coming through about how maybe restaurants should consider making their food better and cleaner as opposed to worrying about smoking.
Your question earlier to Dato was quite relevant, this idea of attracting new customers?
Yeah.
And patrons who may not have previously frequented their restaurants. That was something that happened in the UK when certain, I say even pubs, for example, saw more families going there for lunchtime to have a roast because, you know, it was a now smoke-free environment.
We've got Kenny on the line. Good evening, Kenny. What are your thoughts?
Hello.
Hi, Kenny. Are you there?
Yeah, hi. I'm here.
Hi.
Okay, great. Just a couple of comments. Number one, I empathize with the coffee shop owners, associates, etc. But I'm also talking about self-regulation and getting yourself ready.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, what have they done about regulating their own industry? For example, why don't you go to the government and say, look, just like you have halal restaurant and non-halal restaurant, why don't you have smoke restaurant and non-smoke restaurant? So the consumer has a choice of going to a smoke-free restaurant or a smoke-friendly restaurant. But the smoke-friendly restaurant is very clearly stated, you know, everybody, that they may have to pay a special tax or whatever, right? Number one. Number two, what about SOPs for coffee shops? Why are you only talking about these issues now? What about the fact that the coffee shops do not maintain the cleanliness of the environment? For example, disposal of their oil. We know that the local councils end up clearing all the drains of the oils and all that. Mm-hmm. Why are they not talking about this? Why are you asking the government to step in now and provide spaces for smokers? What about yourself? What about what are you doing in your environment? You're across the country. You should be coming up with self-regulation SOPs for coffee shops so that we go to the next level. We cannot be always relying on laws and regulations if the industry is supposed to grow. What about self-service restaurants? Why are we always talking about we need foreign workers? Why are you not addressing that? Why don't you go towards self-regulation, self-serving restaurants rather than a full-service restaurant? We cannot continue. So we are all focusing on smoking, which is a very small issue. You know, you make a restaurant smoke-free or non-smoke-free, but maybe that's what they should go to the government and say, give us a choice and come up with that. Sorry, I hope I make sense of that.
You did, Kenny. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you very much, yeah.
It's kind of, I guess, we've been talking about choice a lot, seemingly, over the last few days on the show, and letting consumers choose. What do you think?
I think choice is, I'm all about choice. And yesterday when we were talking about film censorship, that was the idea that we were peddling, that it is a consumer product, and therefore choice is important, right? I think smoking is different.
Because it causes harm. We have Super Literal on Twitter saying, hello, Kaki Lima, playground, bus stop with shelters, pun tak ada, nak provide nice little rooms for smoking, please lah, get a grip. The government should provide a place to slowly kill themselves, fikir lah. So, yes, some strong words there
from Super Literal.
Yes, similarly from Lee Boon Leong, there is a zone for smoking, it is called your own home. Let's see what Matthew has to say. Good evening, Matthew, what are your thoughts?
Hi.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hi, I'm good. I'm echoing similar thoughts as the caller Kenny earlier on his point one. I don't think the government should be regulating or imposing this smoke-free on the eateries. It should be left to the free market. Let the market decide, yeah? If the eatery works as a smoking eatery, fine. Let the eatery decide whether it works for them as a smoke-free or smoking restaurant or eatery, you know, leave it to the market forces.
So,
but what about public health, Matthew? I mean, do you think that factors in here?
Of course. If a person who is concerned about health, obviously they will go to, they will patronize a restaurant that's smoke-free.
Oh, no, Matthew, but I think the logic of the government is that it's going to end up costing the government a lot of money in healthcare as well. So, you know, by frequenting, even if you're a smoker and you just say you frequent those restaurants, eventually you're going to be the burden of all of the taxpayers, right? Because they're going to have to pay for your medical bills.
Okay. If they don't smoke in eateries, there are other places that they're going to smoke, you know. Ultimately, it is in the hands of the individual, yeah?
Mm.
If the person is addicted to nicotine and continues to smoke,
yeah.
Banning smoking eateries, I think that's not going to be effective. Ultimately, it's an individual decision.
Correct. Yeah, well, thank you very much for your call. I mean, it is the individual's decision, but I have to say, I think what government's philosophies are in most countries is you make it as difficult as humanly possible, right? So you take away places, you increase the price of cigarettes significantly.
Because the harm is so well known.
Yes.
I think that's what drives that. We've got Adi on the line. Good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
Okay, first of all, hi, Mom and Dad.
Oh no. Oh no, that makes me uncomfortable.
So I believe that the blanket ban would be too drastic, and in the end the enforcement would be, you know, it would fail. And I agree with Kenny, the first caller, which is if the better mechanism would be to split restaurants. Each restaurant would have the choice of being a smoke friendly or smoke unfriendly restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the government can work around this very well. For example, smoke-friendly restaurants have to pay some kind of fees and charges or something like that. So I think that's a better mechanism, because I don't think the enforcement currently, as currently planned, would succeed.
Fair enough. I think enforcement is always a huge concern. Thank you so much for calling. I think so. We seem to be having sort of two lines of feedback here. On message, most people, broadly speaking, are for the ban.
Yes.
There's a lot of anger towards smokers also coming through on the messages. But in our calls, there seems to be more of a gentle push for let the market decide.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I land on the side of I don't think it's a bad thing to have the ban. I would like many of our listeners also, to understand a bit more about the enforcement.
No, I think ban it. And then I think the government should also do as much as they can to actually put systems in place and processes in place for people to stop, to help people stop smoking.
As right? far as possible, that yeah.
Those campaigns must be active as well through the national hospitals and medical practitioners and so on.
In the meantime, thank you so much for calling us, for sending in your messages. I hope we got through as many of them as we could. We're going to take it to the news and then at the movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.